Wow. Hattie gives me these little teeny notes to remind me of things. Is there anyone here that cannot read the note that she gave me to remind me next week if you'd like to bring a dish? This says, bring a dish. Usually the only thing, please, thanks. So this is your eyesight test this morning to see if you can see that next week. That is a little note that Hattie gave. Can you see that?
I'm going to bring an apple, brother.
Bring an apple. Bring an apple. Don't everybody bring apples next week. Wow. Brother Matt, what a joy to
have a voice like that.
And to share it with.
I just think it's incredible. It's incredible. Earlier this week, we had a revival. Quite a few people came to me and said, you know, I've never been in a revival before. Amen. Didn't know what to expect. This morning, when Brother Matt prayed, he asked God to continue to rekindle the fire in our hearts, to get excited about what God is doing, not only in your life, but in those around you. I was so pleased, such a turnout, such a wonderful spirit in God's house. For people who are making decisions, for people who were saying, you know, this thing that we preach about, this thing we open our Bibles about, it is something, is a choice that I need. And so many times, in our desire to do more for God, to be more like God, to love our brothers and sisters more, we find ourselves falling a bit short. The revival is a wonderful time to just go back and to thank God for what He has done for us and to rededicate our lives. So many times in my life, I've fallen short, I've made mistakes. And the nice thing about it, I'm in Mount Calvary Community Church, so I know that I have a lot of folks that feel the same way. In the New Testament, so many times the writer talks about old Peter and how many times that he failed. You've got a guy here that so close to Jesus. So many times he did such marvelous things. Realize that he was the first one who actually publicly announced that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. But then almost in the same next breath, when Jesus said, I have to go and suffer and die upon a cross, it says in God's word that Peter rebuked Jesus. Check that out. He rebuked Jesus. There are a lot of folks in your life that you may think and want to and try to, but I would dare say there are not many under the sound of my voice that would ever want to rebuke Jesus, but that's what Peter did. Peter then was challenged by Jesus to get behind these things. So many times when we share about Peter, and I'm going to read a scripture in just a moment, to share with you about how Peter in his darkest hour, it's always shared that he denied Christ three times before the rooster crowed. It's found over in John, the 18th chapter. I'll just read you a couple verses because most of you know the story. Jesus, as they came to get him. Peter had been so supportive, standing by him. He'd taken his sword out and done a little and gets a Vander Holyfield number.
Ninja.
Yeah. But then when it came time, and the ones around him asked Peter, said, wait a minute, aren't you one of the believers, one of the disciples, that man Jesus? And he stood in the background and he said, no, not I. In St. John, the 18th chapter and the 17th verse, then the servant girl who kept the door said to Peter, you're not also one of these man's disciples, are you? And Peter said, I am not. And I want you to listen to the next verse. Now the servants and the officers who had made a fire of coals stood there. So here's the picture. Peter denied Christ and then stood over by the fire of coals to warm himself. It says later on in the 25th verse, now Simon Peter stood and warmed himself. Therefore they said to him, you are not also one of his disciples, are you? He denied and says, I am not. I am not. Not a pretty picture. Something that weighed heavily upon Peter's heart. After Jesus was crucified in that borrowed tomb, and if you're here at the revival, I love Mark Trammell's little spin on that borrowed tomb. Simply borrowed because it wasn't going to be there very long. Why pay for it? I like that. I'm going to drop all the way down to the 21st chapter. And I want to read you that set of scripture. On the fourth verse, just as day was breaking, Jesus stood on the shore, yet the disciples did not know it was Jesus. Jesus had returned, but the disciples, seeing him on the shore, didn't know who he was. Jesus said to them, children, do you have any fish? They'd gone out the night before fishing. I think it was Peter and Nathaniel, different ones. They went out and had caught no fish at all. He said to them, cast the net on the right side of the boat, you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because of the quantity of fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved, therefore, said to Peter, it is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his outer garment, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea to swim towards. The other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards off. Then the 9th verse, when they got out on the land, they saw, it says, a charcoal fire, a coal of fire, in place with fish laid out on it and bread. Heavenly Father, add a special blessing under the reading of your word today. Open our minds and hearts for just a moment. So we, each one as individual, receive that truth you have for us in Jesus' name. All God's people, amen and amen. 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 I think Jesus was a pretty special fellow, don't you? Pretty much performed any miracle that he wanted to. I'm trying to paint you a picture here of Peter denying Christ, then going and standing by the coals of the fire to warm himself. And Jesus, after he returned, told the men to cast your net on the other side of the boat. And all these fish they brought in, Peter immediately started to swim towards him. And there on the bank were coals of fire. Now, next Sunday, God willing, we're going to have a baptismal service, but also along with that, we're going to have a cookout. In all the years that I've been around churches, involved with churches, I've never been to a baptismal cookout. Amen. I am looking forward to it. Has anybody before been to a baptismal cookout? Glory. Glory, glory. You're going to be fed one way or the other.
Amen.
Either through God's Holy Spirit, or from what I hear, Brother Matt, he's going to go get a grill, and he's going to put that charcoal in it. We're going to make this thing happen, and burgers and hot dogs. To me, there's nothing like charcoal on a grill. Before you even get towards it, what can you do? You can smell it. You can smell it. Now it says in God's Word that it didn't have a fire made of wood, no. This was a fire made of coals. Coals. Trust me, that fire made of coals, it had a wonderful smell to it. Now, I've always kind of questioned about that, about how that last verse, why Jesus, after performing all the miracles that he has performed, as they neared towards the shore there, you know, he could have had them little to-go boxes of fish if he wanted to, couldn't he? Don't you think Jesus could have done that? Yeah. He could have everything all ready. He could have had that little thing. They could have had a little boat drive-up time to just pick up their fish and move along the way and thank God for it. But no, what did he do? He had a fire of coals on the shore, I totally believe, waiting for Peter. Because Peter, before he even got to Jesus, he could smell. He could smell. He could smell. And I know Peter, in his heart of hearts, it brought back to him that time within his heart when he had denied Christ and then gone over to that coal of fire. What sadness, what shame, but knowing without a shadow of a doubt that Jesus forgives and forgave, placed him back on high where he says, Peter, you are a rock. I will build my church upon that rock. Now I know some of you, rock's a pretty hard thing, isn't it? But I'm here to tell you that not every rock is always stable. I used to love, when I was young, to go fishing with my father. And I had the tremendous history of being the first, when we go trout fishing, to fall in the creek. Dear Uncle James, one time, I just floated on down, and he just snatched me up, set me back up on the dry land. I guess he just looked at Pop and said, I guess this is your catch today. And what had happened, when you go down trout fishing, you're near a little stream there, you try to get as close as you can, you try to step on these rocks. I know one of those rocks, it just hit you at a turn a little bit, and down in the water I went. Not every rock is as stable as it should be. And old Peter, he sometimes was not as stable as he should have been. But I'm here to tell you, Jesus never gave up on Peter, just like he will never give up on you and me. I like Mount Calvary. Trust me, I am prejudiced in liking this church. But I'm here to tell you, it's not... People come into a sanctuary, remember that word sanctuary, because they are looking for something. We try in the sermons, but you know, you can go out and listen to every self-motivator and all that. I love the music, but trust me, if it's just entertainment, and we're not going to impress them with the building because man, I'm seeing these churches they're building up. They've got buildings and buildings and buildings, most beautiful. Wow, wow, wow. I keep telling them, we grow up, we're going to be just like that. The sermons aren't going to impress them. The music's not going to impress them. I trust you, this building's not going to impress them. And I tell you one thing that will impress people is when they walk in and they feel God's Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Then everything you hear in the sermon is just what you needed to hear. Every song that is sung, where no one stands alone, is exactly what your heart needed to hear at that time. And this old building here with its dark pine paneling up there, and I know some of you during the sermon have counted every knock on that wall. Somebody's got to give me a good count someday. We'll give them a prize. Maybe it's Maples. I'll tell you one thing. With God's Holy Spirit here, you're going to see this building in a total different light. You're going to know that there's peace and love and forgiveness in this sanctuary. I believe that God, in His wisdom, He allows us to have memories that will simply warm our hearts. I know that God gave Peter that memory of that sweet smell of that charcoal as he pulled up in that boat. So he wanted to just get there so fast he had to just dive in and start to swim. And I know that God gives you wonderful memories. I believe in every older person, there's a younger person inside screaming, "What happened?" Amen?
Amen?
There should be a few more amens out of this crowd. I read a little article by P.R. Lucas. He was, and I love this town, Moberly, Missouri. I've never heard of anybody from Moberly, Missouri. And he wrote one time, just a little tidbit. He says, you know, my next door neighbor came over and asked me how old I am. He's just a little tight. So I figured I'd just throw the question back on him. He said, well, sonny, how old do you think I am? Little fellow looked down at him and said, well, I think you're about 38 years old. The man had a smile when he started. He said, no, son. He says, I am 85 years old. And the little boy responded, looking up. He says, golly, mister, you're old enough to be dead. Memories. So many times, they warm our hearts. You want to know how you keep this revival fires burning? You think back about what God has done for us in our lives. In my life, this is my favorite time of year. It's October. Right around the corner is November. There's nothing that I enjoyed more in my life ever than going hunting with my brother and my father. Last year, for the first year, neither one were alive to share. I went up in the woods and I kind of walked around like that, kind of lost, back down all, and it just wasn't the same. And finally, in talking to God and to wrestling over things in my own heart, I realized, but oh, the memories that I have been given. Oh, the memories of my brother. And I called him up on the phone and said, Paul, it won't be long. You're ready to go. Ready to go. Let's go. Let's go. Let's go. And he'd start getting excited. I think for a month he probably slept in his hunting boots. Because he was so excited. I don't know if he was happy to go hunting. I don't know if he was happy to get up and eat some of my mother's cooking. I'm trying to get a few of those in to stay in the will, just to let you know. But I know. Amen. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God gives you the memories that you need. Whether those memories are from glorious things that he has done in your life, whether those memories, as he did with Peter, he simply reminded Peter, Peter, you may have denied me, but Peter, I forgive you. I forgive you. Amen?
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we gather in your house. Heavenly Father, we've opened your word. And today, God, we ask that you will just rekindle in us that fire that you placed. We ask that you allow us to have memories, memories of the wonderful things that you have done for us in our lives. And we ask, Heavenly Father, that you allow us to spread this wonderful, wonderful feeling that we have this morning. Because it's not a feeling of emotion, no. It's simply that we have gathered in your house and you are in our midst. So, Heavenly Father, give us safe traveling mercies as we leave this place and allow us to be on fire for you. We ask this in Jesus' precious name. All God's people said amen, amen, amen. Do I have any more signs that I'm supposed to show anybody, Hattie? Do I have any more signs?